The following teaching is brought to you by Crosspoint Church. For sermon notes and other resources, visit gotocrosspoint.com.
Hey, Crosspoint family, friends. Gosh, what a crazy time it is right now, yeah? The whole COVID and quarantine crisis and the difficulty and the challenge and the stress of that. And we certainly weren't even through that. It had felt like maybe things had begun to level down and that curve had flattened down. And then all of a sudden, what was it, 2 weeks ago, George Floyd was killed, and the upheaval and the unrest and everything is way up here again. And so I just want to take some time with you today. Man, I want to just talk to you, not so much preach a message, but more just have a conversation with you about where my heart is that in this, and some stuff that comes right out of our book, from the heart of God into my heart, that I hope speaks into your heart. Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to be, and Paul writes this letter to a church in Philippi. He writes it from a incarceration of some kind, a prison, a dungeon, maybe house arrest in Rome. The authorities had tried to stop him. They tried to trump up charges against him. He had enemies that hated him, and he was getting railroaded through the justice system. But because Paul was a Roman citizen, as a Roman citizen, every Roman had the right to appeal their case to be heard and go before Caesar. But in order to do that, that would take some time because Caesar rules the empire. So if you're going to do that, you had to get yourself to Rome, and then you could wait a while to actually have your case heard. And so Paul is there in Rome under arrest of some kind. And as he gets into the letter, he talks about something really important in verse 10 that is just a dominant theme of my life, that I pray for you, that I pray for myself. He says, I want you to understand what really matters. Because all kinds of stuff matters right now in our life. Some stuff trivial, some stuff important. But Paul says, when it comes down to it, there's one thing that really matters. And he goes in to talk about that here. He says, I want you to know, verse 12 now, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Maybe you write down on your note sheet or wherever you're taking notes, just a big E with a circle in it to represent everything. That's the big idea of what we're talking about today. He says, man, everything that's happened to me here in Rome, here in prison, here under house arrest, has helped to spread the good news. He says, for everyone here, including the whole palace guard, that's all the soldiers that are guarding him, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment here, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Paul says, look, in the midst of the craziness of my circumstances, and circumstances I would not choose, and when we're freaked out by being in circumstances that we didn't choose, this COVID crisis, this unrest that has just erupted here in our country right now, he says, you need to know and have the perspective and the prayerful proclamation and request of your heart, God, let everything that happens in my life be to help spread the good news. He says, look, the whole palace guard knows about Jesus. That wouldn't have happened if I wasn't under arrest here in Rome. He says, and furthermore, these believers who were timid and being persecuted and being targeted for their faith are more bold because they've seen me step out and so encouraged them. And I don't know what else Paul thinks about as he writes that everything that's happened to me here has helped spread the good news. What's fascinating to me is to put myself in Paul's shoes there, sitting there under guard, under the palace guards, saying everything that's happened has helped to spread the good news, and have a flashback to years before coming to this city of Philippi. This body of believers now that are gathered in Philippi started, and we hear that story. Flip back in your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. And it tells us there that Paul was trying to get to a certain place, and he just kept not being able to get to where he wanted to go, to Phrygia, to Galatia, and they wanted to go over to Mysia and Bithynia. And again, it says just Jesus didn't let him. It says, in that night, verse 9, that night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. He said, our circumstances weren't where we wanted to be. We had this weird dream about this guy saying, come over and help us. And so we thought, well, let's see what God means by that. And they went over to Macedonia, which is where Philippi is. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across the island of Samothrace. And the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there, we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a river bank. That's an important thing. Just write that down or circle or highlight, underline that, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. We sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. And as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she urged us until we agreed. Paul says, look, it wasn't where we wanted to go, but we ended up there. We find ourselves in a riverbank, and everything that happens to us helps to spread the good news, and takes advantage of the opportunity there to have a conversation with a woman there that probably became the gathering place of the first church in Philippi at Lydia's home. She was a dealer in expensive purple cloth, which translated means the girl's loaded. She's an entrepreneur, a small business, or maybe even a large business enterprise that she has, and probably has a bigger house, and so the church probably gathers there. So riverbank, everything spreads the good news. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated. You ever had things where you're just exasperated day after day? So exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews. In your Bible, circle, highlight, underline that, write that down. Uproar. They shouted to the city officials, they are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters here in Temecula Murrieta, that everything that happens to us can help to spread the good news. It starts at a riverbank, and it's great at the riverbank. And then there's this demon-possessed girl, and there's this deliverance. And wow, what exciting this is, that this girl had been so oppressed, and the torture and the psychotic episodes she would have being demon-possessed. And there's deliverance. So everything has helped to spread the good news. And now, because of that, Paul and Silas and his entourage are beaten, are put into prison. And I wonder if they're sitting there going, everything helps spread the good news? Because this doesn't feel like it right now. The whole city was in an uproar. Our cities right now are in an uproar. All over the place. You just have to watch the news and see that it's, I don't know how long this is going to go on and what it's going to ebb and flow. There's all kinds of opinions and uproar on social media and in the news about it, and we can get very exercised within ourselves about it. I had a chance this week earlier to sit down with a brother of ours, Michael Beard. He plays on the worship team. He's a drummer. Michael Beard's a black man. He's an African American who attends Cross Point here, has been here for a number of years. And we got a chance just to sit down and talk about the uproar and the tumult and some of his feelings about that and how he's interacted with that, and talk about what these issues are that trigger so many of us. And I want to encourage you to go look at that this week. We're going to post that out there on social media probably on Tuesday or Wednesday. It's a fascinating, beautiful, powerful conversation that'll help you unpack some of your own feelings and thoughts about that. So stay tuned for that. We'll send out an email or a text or something to remind you about that. But make sure you take some time and listen in to that conversation that Michael and I had last Wednesday afternoon. But right now the city's in an uproar. Paul and Silas are beaten. They're sitting in a jail cell. And I got to wonder, this doesn't feel like everything that's happening has helped to spread the good news, because I understand the riverbank conversation with Lydia. And I get that, you know, okay, this demon-possessed girl that was exasperating us, and the demon's gone now, and she feels great now, and awesome, that's helped spread the good news. A person who's been tortured and in tumult has been taken out of the darkness and brought into the light. That's helped spread the good news. Being beaten and thrown in prison doesn't feel like this is helping to spread the good news. Let's see what happens here. Verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. You can just picture the scene. They've been beaten. They've been put in the inner, most secure part of the prison, and not just put in there, but their feet by clamped in the stock so they can't even move around. And you can hear Paul just going, I raise a hallelujah. And it echoes out in the cavern that they're in, and Silas gets in on that. And what's fascinating is that you need to know right now, with our city being in tumult and all the challenges that's going on right now, other people are listening, are wondering about this faith in Jesus. And we're on display right now. And Paul recognizes here that everything that happens can help spread the good news. So they're singing. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop, don't kill yourself. We are all here. Paul recognizes that being beaten and in prison, and even with the prison doors being thrown open, he recognizes, look, everything that happens can help spread the good news. So, we're not going to all run out here. Keep everybody here together. Because he recognizes there's an opportunity here to help spread the good news. It tells us here, the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. And then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God, that salvation came to that house. And it didn't come when Paul went to a riverbank, and it didn't come because of seeing a girl that was demon-possessed be delivered. It happened because Paul recognized that even in the midst of standing up for my rights, even in my entitlement to freedom, and now the doors are open, I can just walk out of here. He says, everything can be for the good news. And that jailer gets saved and becomes part of that church. And now as Paul sits in a prison cell, not in Philippi, but remembering back to how the church started in Philippi, and now he's in a prison cell in Rome, he says, hey guys, I want you to understand that everything that happens to me can serve to spread the good news. And I think he's saying that to us, to them back then, and to us today that in the midst of the unrest and the uproar of the COVID crisis and the uproar of what's going on related to George Floyd's death can serve to spread the good news. And I want you to see what Paul says here, though. He says, good things have happened. The palace guards heard about Jesus. Believers have gained confidence. And he says, but it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Just fascinating to me that Paul says, in a situation where there's uproar, in a situation where I'm in prison and I'm innocent completely of the charges, I'm here and the good news of Jesus is going out, and it's beautiful sometimes and it's amazing. And then sometimes it's just sketchy and messy and awkward and weird. He says, some people are preaching Christ and their motives are pure and good and they love me and they love Jesus. Other people are doing it from sketchy motives. Some because they don't like me and they're just trying to poke at me and make it more painful for me. Some people, Paul says, are doing it for motives of trying to gain popularity or a following, maybe to gain power or prestige or some dollars and cents for what they're doing. Paul says, it doesn't matter to me. As long as Jesus is being preached, I don't care. So he says, whether I'm at a riverbank with Lydia and sitting at a rich girl's house and having a great meal with her, or if I'm in prison, in chains, beaten, it doesn't matter. For us today, in the midst of this uproar, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether you're liberal or conservative, whether you are Fox News or MSNBC kind of person, it doesn't matter. The thing that transcends all of the issues and all of the things that we're so revved up about right now is the message about Jesus. Your finances, your family, and the situations that are going on there. Guys, I hope it's good. I hope it's beautiful and amazing. Whether it's beautiful and amazing or it's challenging or difficult, whether you find yourself like chilled out and it's awesome and beautiful, or it's just plain old difficult that you feel like life has beat you up right now. Paul says, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the only thing that matters is the message of Jesus is being seen in my life and communicated because of how I'm responding to the various situations that I find myself in, the COVID crisis that we're in right now. Whether that lasts a long time or it gets done quick and they find a vaccine and treatment and all that, the most important thing here is, in these circumstances, is the message of Jesus being preached? Is Jesus being seen? It's been beautiful to watch just in our little church here, Crosspoint family, how that's happened, how we've learned and had to figure out some things with broadcast technology and how to put services out online, and more people are watching and people in different places are watching that really haven't ever watched or been part of a church maybe for a very long time. The way we've been able to reach out and touch our community in ways that we never could have, that the good news of Jesus going out and Jesus being seen in a positive light wouldn't have happened had it not been for this COVID crisis. And just when we thought it had ebbed down and leveled out, all this stuff has our cities in an uproar right now, and the unrest and the tumult that's in our soul right now, the only thing that matters is not my position on some political statement. It's not my position on protesting and the rights of certain ethnic groups. The most important thing is not what we feel about police officers or about protesters. The most important thing that transcends all of that, I got to stop for a second. I don't want to diminish those things. Those things are extremely important. But Paul's going to tell us the only thing that really matters is the good news about Jesus. And how that no matter what situation we find ourselves in social media, in our homes, in conversations that we have, is the message about Jesus being preached and going out. And even if there are people out there that I go, oh, they frustrate me, they bug me, I don't get them, could we have the perspective and could we have the prayer of our heart simply be this? The only thing that matters is that Jesus is being preached, and because of that, we'll rejoice.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. For more resources, check out gotocrosspoint.com.